Father, as we come to this portion of the service, God, because you've been involved from beginning to end, your Spirit, God, we need him so badly. And we're getting ready to open and look to the words of the one who spoke them, not just black ink on white paper, but the words that Jesus spoke into existence. You've always been there with him, right by his side. Along with the Holy Spirit before this earth was even created, you three are one and always were together. God, we could learn so much just from the Trinity. But I ask you, God, illuminate what I speak about that you put on my heart, God. Give us eyes to see, God. Give us your eyes to see. Give us your ears to hear. Give us your heart that it would break, God, so that we could see what you're saying to us through your word. My prayer is that we would come out of this today, like every Sunday, God, no matter who's preaching, Pastor Reggie, Pastor Kevin, whoever's preaching, God, that we would be changed. Have your way, Holy Spirit. I surrender. I just surrender everything to you. And Father, I give Jesus all the glory in his precious name. Amen. I'm going to pick up part two of what I started last week. So if you'd like, go to 2 Corinthians 12. We're going to stay there just to see a couple of more things. And what I want to share out of this is again, I can't teach you anything unless God cuts into my heart, cuts into my life, and I allow him to do it. Otherwise, it's just something I'm just rehearsing and I'm giving to you. And hoping that something will happen. No. This is so that I, along with you, as we walk this walk, however long we are here, until we get to that place, which is glory, we'll be changed from glory to glory, from moment to moment, and God will be pleased because we're supposed to be transforming. That's, you don't get transformed like the Transformer cartoon. They just went from a car to a truck to some supernatural thing. We're human. We have a lot of things to deal with. But when something becomes light, when God says, be holy as I am holy, he's saying, as you understand what the word says, Bob, as you understand what the word says, then do it. Don't just take it and say, oh, that was cute. But learn from that and become that so that you can grow and show others. That's a job for all of us. In 2 Corinthians, I'm going to read a couple of verses, but I'm still in the same thing. Chapter 12, I'm going to start at verse 2, and then I'm going to jump down to 7. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. Verse 7, 7b. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Christ's power may rest on me, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I love the way he says this. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We talked about the flesh when Paul had spoke about this last week. And if you weren't here, I would ask you just to get the, just to go online and listen to it. I forgot we don't have tapes anymore. Or we might have a few, I don't know. But there's more than just the fact of Paul going up to heaven to see what he saw and hear what he had heard and just coming back and God saying, well, I got to keep him from being puffed up. It's more than that. It's when you think of the thorn, think about this. Pain heightens our attention, does it not? In the middle of the night, and I got two toes to prove it, I'll get up and something will transpire, whether it's Coco or me getting up to go downstairs to pray, and I will make the same mistake, and I'll make that cut, that turn, and then boom, and I, that little pinky, I'm like, woo, woo, woo. I mean, I'm jumping. It has my attention. That little thing is saying, yo, what are you doing? That thorn was painful for Paul, but it got his attention. And whenever something gets your attention, there's a reason and purpose behind it, especially when it comes to God. I said this last week, but I'm just going to go back there for a second. The Greek tense states that each time Paul prayed for relief, he heard God give the same answer. That was verse 9. And in that statement, it means that Paul didn't just say three times in one prayer, God, take this from me. God, no, it was over a period of time. But he heard the same answer verbatim from God. This is a reason that we should take a pause and don't discount what's going on here so simply. What I mean is, while we should always, always take our prayers and petitions to God, as the Bible says, where we read, it says that do not be anxious in Philippians 4:6 about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. We don't stop that when something is going on, when God wants to deal with us. We should never stop that because we don't know where God's going to take this. Within bringing our requests to God, we should stop and listen for his answer. And then, I'm going to say this forever along with every pastor in this church, whatever God tells you, I don't care how he tells you, if it's not in this book, it ain't God, because he cannot veer away from this. Everything he has to say to us is right here. Within bringing our request to God, we should stop and listen to his answer. Don't just skip to the verses where he answers. A lot of Christians, you know what they do? They'll see that and read something in the Bible about what's going on and don't want to deal with it. And they go right to the next page where it says, oh, and Jesus healed them all. Praise the Lord, Jesus. That doesn't happen. Not all the time. God heals who he will heal. He will take the thorn out, whoever he's going to take it out from when it's time. But we have to go further with God. We have to get to a place where we surrender and just say, God, as long as this pain is there, as long as I'm dealing with this, our mindsets have to be, he's not done showing us something. He's not done trying to get us to understand something. He's not done saying, listen, you don't get it yet. And our posture should be one of surrender. We should be at a place where if it's a week, we should never put a time clock on it because God doesn't have a time clock. Time is put in this place that we live for us. There is no time with God. But we can't, when there's a thorn, give God 7 days and thinking, well, Lord, I gave you enough time. It's time for me to work on it. And if we're really good, and I don't know about you, there was times when I did a month. And I'm like, yo, God, you know, you listening? Because I'm not hearing you. I don't hear what you're doing. I can't see what you're doing. Because when that happens, we become arrogant. We think we know better. We think we're God. And he should come down to our terms, meet us on our level, and then explain to us why he's doing what he's doing. That's never going to happen. We are the clay on the wheel. He is the potter that's shaping and forming us. So, I've never made anything with clay. When I was a kid, they tried in school. It all looked the same. But you know what? I remember on that machine one day, and it wouldn't act right because I didn't know what I was doing. And I smacked that thing off as a young kid, and my teacher wanted to smack my head off as a young kid. I use that as a coarse example. God could take the clay, fold it up, and throw it away. Look at the ones, oh, I'm sorry. I forgot this was, I was holding this. Look at the ones where he doesn't change, in other words. Read this book, you'll find many accounts where he doesn't change a situation. Whether it's in the New Testament or the Old Testament, what he decrees and wills will happen. And the reason why that God put all the no's in there, because he does say no. It's because he knows better than we do. Though the situation with Paul is not an ordinary one or an everyday run-of-the-mill problem, it's not. I don't think most of us will ever deal with something like that. One of the scholars that I was looking at wrote this. The grace of God is not only for the beginning of the Christian life. It is for the beginning, the middle, and the end. Through the pain of the thorn, Paul was to learn that we get no lasting glory here on this planet. Our glory and our freedom and our complete joy and all that's going to happen that God promises will be when we leave here and get up yonder to paradise, to heaven, to glory. So that should put a flag and a check in us that these things are going to happen. We're going to run into situations. The enemy's going to have his way one way or another sometimes because it just, we get comfortable, we relax. And that's the worst thing we could do, even in life, with our jobs, whatever we're reading. It's easy to say, well, I know this. Let me put it on neutral or not neutral. What's the other one in the car? It does it automatically. Cruise. Yeah, I don't trust that. I can't trust the car that I can't accelerate or brake. I want to make sure. And then with these new cars coming out, I'm never going to sleep in one of those. But we get comfortable when we put things on cruise, whether it's working with our computers. You get to know the buttons and it just works. Well, today, the same buttons didn't work here. Tried different sites, different websites. Frankie came in. I thought Jesus came when he came in because I was hoping that he could fix it. But we do get comfortable. And when we get comfortable, our adversary waits for that moment to say, okay, now I could start. I love this part where this gentleman wrote, through the pain of the thorn, Paul was to learn that this was no lasting glory here, least of all through the dramatic religious experiences. Though they may appear glorious and laden with power, there is a power that brings elation, but it ain't the power of God.
It's the power of flesh. You see, we like when things happen right. We like when something that we plan works out. We like when we go shopping and we get that deal, whatever that deal is. We like those things in natural, human, just everyday situations, and we feel good about it. I remember the first time I sold the fuse. I was thrilled. No, I'm not talking about some fuse like that. I sold the fuse. It was about this big. I mean, you had to carry it. I sold three of them in my very first sales job. And the guy in the office was, look what he sold. He sold these three fuses. And I'm like, yeah, I sold three fuses. I mean, they were about $800 a piece, but they were fuses for industrial. Made me feel good. We like to feel good. And every time, if we operate under feeling good all the time, the devil knows, ha, I know how to get to them. I know how to get to Bob. Because if I stroke his back long enough and allow, you see, people don't understand. God blesses, but the enemy has power too on this earth. And he can open doors for the wrong reason, and we give God credit, and God's standing back going, that ain't me. And he'll set us up. He's good at setting us up. He's perfected that art. And whenever the flesh is gratified in whatever it's doing, we've already fallen off the mountain and don't even know it. There is a power that brings elation, but it's a power of the flesh, not the power of Christ. The power of Christ is rather power in weakness, for his grace is apprehended only in the awareness. Listen to this. Only in the awareness of our weakness. This is not, and I'm emphasizing this, this is not merely a warm devotional thought. It is the heart of the gospel and the argument of Paul's letter. It's an argument he's making to the church, to the Corinthians. Guys, whenever something like this starts to happen, we should become aware, like when you hit your pinky toe. Or if you're sitting at a desk, I don't know if this has happened to you. I've sat at my desk and I hit something in around here and I'm like, oh, I mean, you can't even think straight. All you want to do is hold your leg up and just baby it. That's the awareness we have to have as we walk this walk. And God opens it up so that we could see him in it. We get too comfortable, especially in these days. I think, and look, I'm no different than you. I bleed red. I'm old. I know I'm old. Trust me, I feel it. Some days I feel good. It depends how many Advil I take. That's my cure-all for everything, Advil. And my doctor said I could take a lot, so don't tell me I can't take too much. My doctor said so. He's got the degree. Go to chapter 1 for a second. In Corinthians, just go to 1. Paul related how in Asia he had been crushed. He acknowledged to the expendability of his jar of clay. Who can cope with such adversity? Who can cope with such adversity? In chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians, I'm sorry. Did I say first? All right, my bad. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. He says this, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experience in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. You know what? When somebody says they despair of life itself, it means they wanted to die. They wanted it to end. They wanted to forget about it, like, I just can't take this anymore. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. Oh, here's the key. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. What situation are you and I in that can't, that compares to this, what Paul and his troops were going through? And there are real situations that we deal with that happen where we feel that way. But we have to look beyond that and get to that place that God is saying, now I need you to drop your hands, take out your attitude, move back, and fall on me so that I could now give you what you need, the grace and the power to go forward. That takes faith to do that. It takes humility to do that. When something happens and you just want to back down and just want to let go, and God says, no, now fall into my hands and watch what I do in this situation through you. Heather, come on up. Paul's ministry was marked by pain. You read his ministry, he's in pain throughout all the different things he was dealing with. Whatever the case may be, Paul knew that it was God that allowed it. He knew firsthand. How many times when things happen in our life do we look and realize God allows it? Because he wants to get our attention. I'm sorry, Manny. He wants to get our attention. We're so engrossed in what's happening to us that we can't see the forest beyond the trees. Did I get that one right? Good, because I'm still trying to say that parlabababook thing again, that one word that I can't. We can't see what God sees, even though while we're in it, he will show it. He'll take us through steps. Paul understood that. He had the thorn until he was killed. It never left him. This messenger from Satan, I don't know how many years it was, but let me tell you, after a while, you know, you keep getting stuck or whatever it was that God said, let this happen. God called it into being, not Satan. Now, he may have enjoyed the watch, the show, but God was teaching Paul like he wants to teach all of us. I want to go deeper in you. I want our relationship to draw closer. I want you to see me as that song that Heather did with the words, and I was listening. He wants to bring us to a place that come hell or high water, we're still there with our hands open wide and saying, I don't care, God, have your way in me, because we're so in love in his majesty, in his greatness, his glory, that all we want to do is bow down before him. And we can say, God, I don't care what you do, I'm not leaving you. That's the God that wants to make himself real to us. Whatever the case, he knew that God sent that messenger to keep him from becoming puffed up, swollen-headed. I put a lot of different words there. But I love what the King James wrote in that verse. They're right. I looked at all the versions. King James wrote it this way, that I should be exalted above measure, that somebody should lift us up. Like we got something special, only we got it. You know, you see people like that only me, this happened with me, God did this in me. No, God did it so that he wouldn't get puffed up, so nobody could exalt him above Christ. And anytime we exalt something above Christ, that's wrong, it's a problem. It has to be him and him alone. He's the one that died for you and me. Think about it, he gave up his glory to come to this earth to suffer, knowing he was gonna suffer, knowing they were gonna put thorns on his head, put a sword through his side, put spikes in his hands and his legs. He didn't have to do that. That's why that song is so great to read and experience it. But we get comfortable in this religion. We get to a place like, well, I'm going to cruise through. We can't cruise. We are an active participant in this with God. It's an action we have to take, but he supplies what we need. There is a great glory, but it's not yet. It will be revealed at the end. But in the afflictions that we're having, they should draw us closer and closer and closer throughout our lives to the grace of God in Christ Jesus. This is the pinnacle of Paul's boasting. I haven't arrived, I'm telling you. I want to. I want to get to that place when not that people see it, please. No. That he sees it in me. And I could feel him smiling when I get down on my knees. And even though I'm crying from pain, even though things are happening, even though I went awry in whatever situation, that though I'm suffering and he's trying to teach me, that he'll see that and he'll say, it's okay, Bob, I'm here. My grace is sufficient. What grace? Grace to lift me up when I want to quit. Grace to say, I got your back. You're not alone. Grace to say, we're going to get through this together. You and me. That's the grace that God wants to give. And that's what Paul experienced. That grace, knowing that he's never alone, that God is with him. Do we walk like that? Do I walk like that? I'm almost done. Here's a question. I ask a lot of questions to myself because I know God's asking me so I could see me. Anything that we deal with, God has already known it for eons before we were even here. But he lets us go through things so that we could see it, get a good look at ourselves. The question becomes, what is the Christian to do in these circumstances of pain and suffering? We are to pray to the Lord, as I said earlier, to deliver us, as Paul did. It may be that God does deliver us, because he is continually. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, and chapter 4, 7 through 10, it talks about he's delivering him. He delivered him today, and he's going to deliver him tomorrow. He does get us through these circumstances. So that can't be the real answer. Or maybe just part of it. It is all too easy, and this I've seen in me and many others, to allow the pain and the suffering to eat away at our lives until we become bittered because we don't see the lesson he's trying to teach us, or we have this self-pity attitude that we take on. Woe is me. I don't want either. I don't want to become embittered when situations happen in my life. I want to be able, you know what? It's okay to cry when you're sad. It's okay to cry when you're hurt. That's part of being human. But if it goes beyond that and you look at someone no longer with God's eyes and God's heart, and you look at them through your own vision and it becomes skewed, that's the moment we should already be on our knees and crying out, God, change me. Not the person, me. That's what Paul cried out constantly, because Paul knew joy comes in the morning, but that morning is when we get to glory. But while we're here on this earth, it's going to be tough. We'll have days when we just know it's flowing. But I believe there'll be more days when it's not flowing and we'll have to come back to God and say, Lord, I'm not asking you to take it away, whatever the situation is for you. But Lord, let me learn in this. Show me what I need to learn. Show me what I need to see. Show me what you see that you want to dig deep down into and get it out of me. That's the walk that Paul walked. That's the walk we have to walk. We don't get an exemption because we're in the 21st century. God's word doesn't change from old to new. It's the same thing throughout. And the promise is on the other side, I promise you this, no more pain, no more crying, no more heartache, no more nothing bad, but you'll be with me. And the glory of God will light the place up and we won't even remember. I don't think we'll remember. I could be wrong. You know, I had this note in here. Sometimes suffering Christians turn to the teachings that acknowledge that you don't have a, you don't, you know what, that you're already in heaven. That, you know what, you don't have to deal with pain. And there's a lot out there that does that. Rather, the person in Christ is to allow those thorns to pin him closer to Christ. That's a weird saying. Allow those thorns, those situations, to not just pin us down to the ground, but you know what, since we got them, I'm coming up on the side of Jesus now. I'm going to stand with him. And if that thing is all the way through me, it's going to go into him and we're going to be walking step in step. We must come to the conclusion that whatever the thorn in the flesh was, the Lord knew it and that Paul needed it. If he needed it, how much more you and me? How much more? If Paul needed it, how much more do we need it today? We don't like pain. I get that. I don't like pain either. You know, you think about this. This is my mind. I thought about Peter, and we did that series. That was humiliating for him. That was a humiliating situation when he was on the beach with Jesus. Jesus just dealt with him straightforward. And he's in front of everybody. So he had to humble himself. That's where God wanted him to be. Be humble. That song, somewhere in that song, it talked about confess it or something. I just read the words. Peter had to get humble to go on to the next step that God wanted for him. Paul had to deal with the thorn so that he could understand God in a deeper way. And that would keep him close to God. But you know what amazes me? Christ needed no thorn. He didn't need a thorn in his side. But he pierced him. But let me say where I get this from, my thinking. When Christ was on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, John, and James. I think James was the third one. And the three amigos that were there, you know, had this brainstorm, Peter. God's transformation, and I believe this, some believe other. That was a small glimpse of glory, his glorious state. But when he came down, he didn't change. He was still humble, still broken, still at a place where I've come to fulfill the will of my Father. When he was taken out to the wilderness and he was tempted by Satan himself, he was still the same Jesus. He was still a human being quoting God's word that he wrote and still dealt with it head on. He is perfect as a human. He's perfect as one that bled on that cross. He's perfect in every aspect, and yet he did it. You and I don't have an excuse anymore. My grace is sufficient for you. Hard words sometimes. But in those hard times that you're dealing with it, that I'm dealing with it, that's the greatest opportunity for you and me to draw closer, to become more like Christ. Every day that we're alive, that we deal with challenges, that we deal with people, whatever your occupation is, you're still going to run into humans. That we deal with our families. And sometimes that's the hardest battle. Every opportunity. And if it feels like a thorn, if it feels like you can't take it anymore, if it feels like God's not answering your prayer, God, how long? David says that in the psalm. How long will you abandon me? How long before you answer? I love that about David. The Bible shows you the reality of pain, how it feels, and he was honest. We have to be honest. I believe it's okay to say, God, how long? But also, like David, but you, O God, are in the heavens. You are God Almighty, and I know that you have control of everything. I'm asking you, along that I've been asking myself in this study that I did, to just surrender. Not in the good times, that's when it's easy. In the hard times. In the times when you just want to throw it in. When God says, if we listen, I'm right here. Says it in his book, I will never leave you or forsake you. I won't leave you abandoned. And I love when it says, like an orphan. Think about orphans. Parents abandon them. For whatever the reason may be, that kid doesn't know that at that age. There's no way to understand that. That pain that they grow up with trying to figure out life. God says, I won't leave you alone. I'll be with you. So I just want to pray for myself as I've been doing. God has me on my knees a lot more than I've ever been in my 27 years on this earth. Finally sunk in. Reverse it. No, I'm not 72. Not yet. I'll get there. But I want us to go before God and just say to him, Lord, here I am. Could you do that song, Here I Am, Lord? Something like that.